Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Wow, it's Wednesday. The holiday is over, Valentine's Day. So, hope everyone had a great weekend.
Well, I thought you were returning to President's Day.
Oh, that's right. President's Day also fell.
It sure did.
It was like, what, Friday? Friday was Valentine's Day. Monday was President's Day. So, it kind of, I don't know, how do you
what
say?
What a contradiction, you know? You love one day and you throw up the next. But
you know,
anyway,
like, are you against the our past presidents? Oh, our current president,
yeah.
Certainly.
Well, it's President's Day.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that really to honor the past presidents? Or?
Well, every president.
I guess.
But
well, isn't it Martin Luther King? I'm sorry, Martin Luther King. Obviously, he wasn't a president. I'm sorry. The holidays, I know for our local school children were split up, and it was Lincoln and Washington.
Yeah.
That's who really is honored on this President's
Day. Yeah, Lincoln
Day.
And Washington.
It's not everyone.
Then they call it all President's Day. But, you know.
Flanked is what I went to say. The weekend was flanked by Valentine's Day and President's Day. So a lot of people took a long weekend. That doesn't always happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. There was a lot of interesting articles written about the presidents and the different personalities and
their
characteristics.
There was an interesting, it was an article referencing a book someone had written. I forgot the name of the book, but it was about Washington and how he had hippo ivory's teeth and he was illiterate and he was horrible. So he kept slaves, even though he was very controversial and
Grant
did not portray him in positive light, for sure.
Yeah, there's controversy everywhere with all presidents, but there was also an interesting article about how time changes the image of a president. So what was once an unpopular president becomes more popular.
Well,
popular
that's the case with
Washington. Yeah. Well, he was somewhat directed into the president. He was the first president, but it wasn't a firm established position at that time. However, anyways, we're getting to All Presidents Day. How about All Psychics Day?
Well, then that would be also
everybody in the world is psychic.
Well, apparently they are.
according to the number of
psychics that are out there these days, there's a lot of people claiming to be psychics that are really not. It takes a lot more than just this natural ability.
When I was a kid, I mean, I was a psychic as a kid, but there weren't psychics everywhere. And there weren't radio shows and platforms for it. And nobody was really a psychic. Maybe Sidney Omar or Jane Dixon. You'd hear somebody Jean Dixon. But they weren't like psychics. You'd have to, when I was a kid, I'd have to go in the worst parts of LA and talk to gypsies
or to like a carnival where they have
a carnival.
Yeah.
But I did as a kid because I was given free rein to wander around. I lived in Hollywood and Beverly Hills, but I would wander. I would walk for miles to the worst town and go where there were fortune tellers and palm readers and things like that. Gypsies. When I was a little boy, I ran away and spent a couple of days I ran away and actually spent a couple of days at Pacific Ocean Park. It was an amusement park on the Santa Monica Pier.
That's why I mentioned the carnival
setting. Oh, the carnival, yeah. And I spent a couple of days with an organ grinder monkey guy, and me and the monkey slept in his circus wagon.
I can't imagine that your parents would allow you to do that and disappear.
It was a mess.
I mean, that would never happen.
You got to remember, this was around 1958. So, but on the beach then, the gypsies used to camp out on the beach in Santa Monica, and there'd be bonfires, and they would sit there with their, you know, dancing and their violins and their accordions and stuff, and they would tell fortunes. They did all kinds of crazy things. But I was like Oliver Twist. I was like, I ran away, and I spent a couple of days there with the monkey. We both were fed bananas and dried and wet old fruit. But the guy was really nice, but it was like a scene out of Pinocchio with Geppetto, Stromboli or whatever his name was. It was very much like that. But you see, that they weren't, you didn't have psychics.
Well, I didn't have any psychic influence in my life. So my first experience with psychics was after, I think, the age of 18. But even at that point, there weren't psychics everywhere. I did go to like a fair, some kind of New Age fair, and I got, I think, a reading from someone. There was a psychic school in the area that I lived, and someone gave me a horrible, horrible reading. Numerology. I got a numerology report. A numerology report printed out, actually. I did that.
Oh, you did?
And then with a girlfriend, at one point, a longtime friend, we went to palm readers, a couple palm readers. But I mean, the readings were like, well, you were going to travel. And I was oh, really? It was so general, you know, of course it would fit into some kind of truth, eventual truth, you know.
I went to a psychic fair once, and there were different hour lectures or something going on. And I was really low key. I just went with a friend, and I didn't want to
say that you were psychic.
I was psychic or anything. I was just there. But she dragged me into a person giving lectures on palm reading, and there were about 30 people in the audience. And so she said to everybody, raise your hand, and I will tell you, I will give you a quick 1 minute, it took about 30 minutes, a quick 1 minute read on your palm. And everybody was raising their hand. Finally, she got to me. I go, no. She goes, raise your hand. I go, anyway, it was embarrassing. I raised my hand. I thought, God, you know, because I was being low-keyed. So she's staring at my hand. She goes, you're really psychic. Did you know that? No. She goes, oh my God, I've never seen that hand. It's a purely psychic hand. She was doing a good read on me, but I didn't. She just said, you've got to know you were psychic. It's too strong. I said, well, I don't know anything about that. And the person I was with was laughing. So, but the point is, you know, palmistry. The palm is an interesting landscape. It changes in time.
Exactly.
Something, I used to do palm readings, but I did a lot of things. Tarot card readings, palm readings.
I know. Did you have like a magic ball or something?
Yeah, I had a crystal ball. I did some.
Don't you have it still somewhere?
I've got it somewhere. Yeah, and I've seen things in it. I used to have a rock that transformed and changed it. There would be a wolf in it, and then there would be an owl in it. It was a magical rock. So all kinds of things like that are interesting. They're interesting to work with.
Well, I mean, even our palms, we will check them from time to time.
Yeah.
Periodically, and there are changes that we've seen in both of our palms. Things will appear that weren't there before, and we found our initials in our palms recently. Remember?
Yeah. But my grandfather was into all that. But he would say to me, I still remember about 5 or 6, he would say, the best psychic is one that just feels the energy and reads it. You feel it, you sense it, you go into the astral realm and you grasp it.
Well, that's the thing. At these psychic schools, I'm not sure what they're teaching. I went to another reading with a different friend, a really good friend of mine, and it was a student reading, and they said, I see you on a sailboat. You know, you're just on a sailboat feeling free. I'm thinking, I've never been on a sailboat. Yeah. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, you know, what made them say that. At the time I was blonde and maybe it was my attire.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, perhaps I fit that image, but that, I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean,
there's a lot of vague impressions that
come through.
So-called psychics or visionaries put out, and you know, they rest on some symbols. I've even gone into those places, to tell you the truth, but for the most part, they're kind of phony. I mean, it's just kind of, you know,
well,
human,
I mean,
metal with flowers. Oh my God, I love flowers. Oh God,
right.
You know,
but when I mean differentiating between when that an image is really a connected psychic vision versus a generalized impression.
Yeah,
you know,
the true seers, they were in the court systems, in the king's court systems, and true seers would advise the king and see things. Actually, in the biblical days, if you were a false prophet, you were stoned to death. And if you gave a prediction, it didn't turn out to be true, you were stoned to death. Because you were a false prophet. I mean, today, you know, of course, we don't go there, and there's a little bit of education in terms of the deviations on what psychics see and what it really means. But a psychic, the original psychics were people who gave omens. They were and they were somewhat condemned in the Bible. Particularly a little bit in the Old Testament, more significantly in the New Testament. So they got a really bad rap. But again, Christ was a psychic.
Right,
I mean,
and there
you want to term that.
For plenty of prophets that
there
are legitimate in the Bible too. So
was John the Baptist.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
And
a lot of it. I mean,
and John,
Saint John
Revelation.
Revelation. I mean, my God, that guy was... The guy was like, what is he talking about? So the idea that, you know, psychics came into more of a personalized vision. Now, in the Greek days, there would be seers who would tell the sailors and the seamen what their trip was going to be like. Sometimes they accompanied them. There were all kinds of myths going on about sea creatures and monsters on islands and things like this. And the... So they would help them along that way. Other seers would talk about the crops and when there was going to be a good season and when there was going to be a rainy season, when there was going to be a famine, things like this. So we have these, there's something in organic about our brains that bring in this energy in, and some of us are generated with a higher intensity, have a higher capsule.
Higher.
Psychic energy,
right?
And it's concentrated.
Well, it's interesting too, because you know, obviously we met on the radio, so I had discovered Blog Talk Radio maybe, I don't know, four to 6 months before we met. I was like, oh my God, all these people are giving readings for free. And of course I wasn't totally educated. I had seen, you know, other psychics since the times that I mentioned earlier on the radio today, and had readings of different levels of accuracy. I think, you know, people have, I think there are people definitely out there that have ability, but it's undeveloped or not developed correctly. They develop it, but it's not completely refined.
Some of the more current psychics that I encountered starting in about in the 70s, what was it? No, about in the 80s or 90s. I mean, I would meet these psychics for various reasons, and they had so many problems. You know, sometimes they gave a good reading because I was there to observe, but their personal problems, chain smoking, overweight, obese,
or
money
relationship problems. Yeah.
They were so messed up
that it interferes with the precision and the accuracy, the full connection.
To some degree, they could still potentially give an accurate reading. But my God, I mean, that's like saying I'm having a maid come clean the house and she smells of BO. And so she's cleaned the house really good, but that stench, oh, and it's permeating throughout the house. You've got to be, you know, thy eye.
Make sure you're
clean from within. And I think there's also a certain level of maturity that a good psychic, a good common sense, someone who has common sense and good values and a clarity about morals and ethics and things like that. Sometimes it gets tricky because you get into gray areas, of course, but.
Well, I want to respond to that real quick, but can I finish what I was saying just a moment ago about psychics and everybody being a psychic? You know, when I called radio shows or did readings with different people prior to meeting you, and I had several prior to meeting you, I was told, oh, you're psychic, you're going to be doing readings. And I, at that time, I was like, no way. Well, it happened to be true.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, because a lot of people are told that. I know that that is a common statement by psychics on the radio from reading.
Well, in your case, it was a strong, really strong vibration. So it wasn't a vague, it was a destiny line. Sometimes we have these vague creative lines, and then sometimes we have these stronger destiny lines.
But, yeah.
I mean, my grandfather said the same thing. I thought he was a great psychic. He could go out on the street and tell somebody something, and it would come. It was true and all that. I mean, he was terrific. But he would look at me. I didn't know what he was talking about because I was 7 or 8. And he'd look at me. He had these piercing eyes, and he'd look at me and say, you think I'm good? Wait till you get older. You're going to be better than me, and I have to teach you before I die. So he did a lot of that kind of stuff too, and he predicted it. At the time, I didn't know because I was, you know, got psychology and writing and all that stuff. So I wasn't, you know, but
yeah, well,
psychic
exactly.
Energy,
I felt the same way for me. But I was completely diverse from where I was in my life at the time. I never thought I'd be doing this, really.
Right. But
not at all.
Well, you know, you have certain destinies that you reach, and when you tap into the spirit and the soul and the really higher work that you're supposed to be doing, it transcends through the ego. Same in my case.
Oh, I
too.
Know. Well, yeah, we're both in the same. Yeah.
Too.
Okay. So we're in the same position.
We both are in the same spot. But the thing with me was, you see, I never gave up psychic. I was doing psychic.
Well,
in
the difference,
high school, I was a professional.
The difference
psychic,
is me coming into this. You know, I wasn't. I mean, I was involved as someone who would maybe seek psychic advice, and it would. I mean, in the preceding 15 years before we met, it'd be like sporadic psychic readings, maybe years apart, but then it obviously increased prior to our meeting to a quite frequent, very frequent
it was really
psychic
weird.
Readings.
There was a very, very famous Christian leader. I wasn't born Christian, but there was a very famous Christian leader named Chuck Smith, who found the Calvary Chapel. And my friend who introduced me to him said, you know, you being a psychic isn't a good thing. It isn't a good thing. And you got to talk to Chuck Smith. Well, I did meet and talk with Chuck Smith, and later got more, had a better relationship with him in time. But when he first met me, I said, my friend says I'm not, it's against God to be a psychic. And he looked at me, and it was weird because he sort of paused, and then he said, no, you're supposed to be one. You're supposed to be one.
It's amazing. That's remarkable that a Christian would approve
say that.
Of that. Yeah.
Because I wasn't born Christian. I was born into a different religion. But after that, he chose to baptize me. And he actually baptized me. It was a very creative thing, very strange. And I was he had stopped doing that for people, but he decided that he would step out of that retirement phase of his, and he did baptize me, gave me a big hug, and said, "You're going to be a psychic." Well,
and that friend, I might add later, he cut ties with you completely.
He cut ties with me because he studied cults and things like that, and he later said that I was, you know, talking to dead people is
still
not good.
The devil, blah, blah, blah.
But he deviated from Chuck Smith too. He went into his own element of energy. He still, I mean, to this day, I still hold him hard, you know, strong in my heart and everything. He since passed on, but he just had different opinions. I really stopped talking to him, so I don't really know what his thoughts would have been, because I've incorporated a lot of Christian values and such things into my the programming of my mind. Although I was born into an entirely different religion, which I still identify myself.
Rastafarian.
Yeah.
You were born Rastafarian.
Right, right. And
your Jamaican roots.
Yes, and I'm prone to crow at the crack of dawn. But no, my religion is very different. My birth religion is very different. But I identify myself according to my birth religion. However,
you also are. I identify with Christian
with
Christianity
the
value, and
with the
and,
statements
and
of Christ and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's an incorporation of the two elements.
Yeah, Christ wasn't Christian.
No,
he was Jewish.
He was Jewish.
He was Jewish,
which I totally identify with.
Right.
So in that regard, yes, there was a clear union of the ideas. And I'm not to say that I'm, you know, this great psychic that the whole world knows or anything, but in my placement on the earth, I've noted that I've made some significant changes in people's lives and things like that. Whatever God has in store for us in the future, that will be said and done. Right now, he's stuck us into Blog Talk
Radio where we have no callers.
So it's
that's
fun
okay.
to play ball with yourself, you know.
Don't go there.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say, actually, Neil, about visions and psychic hits. I mean, when a reading is done and the hits are accurate, it's like fitting the pieces of the puzzle together. And that's the amazing thing. I was thinking about this the other day, how these random, we do have a caller, so we're going to take that caller in just a minute, so hold on, 334. But were those random hits, those separate psychic validations start to come together to form a puzzle, and that leads the psychic in a direction in order to help the person that's being read.
That's what's so exciting.
Fascinating.
It's always a journey.
And the subject sometimes is like, well, you know, this doesn't mean anything to me. But when they all are put together. Then where the direction which the psychic is led and, you know, the end result.
That's what I love about
wow.
it. I equate it to being a detective. You've got to have some ability to detect the clues and to allow yourself to be led forward, and it becomes quite fascinating. I think every reading I do, whether it's somebody extremely famous, we've done readings with some of the most famous people on the planet, and then we've done readings with people who are dirt poor, and we give them all the same respect, all the same time, but they're all fascinating journeys because everybody has their own individual energy field that is meant to be tapped into.
Okay, let's bring on 334. Hi.
Hi.
I'm hearing myself.
I'm hearing myself.
Is the radio? You got to turn off your radio.
Turn off your radio.
I don't have the radio on.
Oh.
What, you don't have your computer on?
No.
Okay.
So
we'll deal with the echo. That's okay. We're dealing with an echo, but that's all right.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
You're not echoing.
I don't know. Just let it.
It's weird. Okay. What's your name?
Mike.
He You're not echoing, so you talk.
Okay, Mike. Well, you know, is there a reason for your call? Because then we're going to get your birth date and go a little bit into a reading.
Great, thank you.
Is there a reason for your? Why don't you give us your birthday first?
Okay, July 22nd.
And the year?
1966.
Okay.
Now you're echoing back.
Our voices are bouncing back, but let's just ignore that. That's okay.
Huh. I don't know why that is.
Do you have us on speaker, Mike?
No, you're not on speaker.
That's okay. We'll deal with it. It's not a big hindrance.
Okay.
Okay, you want to?
We can talk about his birthday for a minute. So Mike, before you ask your question, we're going to travel back in time. We are going to travel back in time for just a moment. So at the age of 33, right?
Yeah.
Have that up right? At the age of 33, there would have been a change in your life.
Or should have been a change.
There should have been a change. At 33 would have been 1999 to 2000 because you're born in the middle of the year. So can you, for a moment, go back to that time and try to think about what happened?
I know exactly what happened. That's odd that you asked that. We had real big changes, my wife and I, that year. We lost our house. I mean, just everything kind of fell apart, not between my wife and I, but, you know, just economically and just everything, you know, just was real bad.
I thought you were going to say a breakup, but in a way there was a breakup in your whole
everything
situation.
Fell apart.
Yeah.
Fell apart.
So I thought it was going to be a breakup. It wasn't a relationship though. It was
The reason for that, Mike, is in numerology. Your first three numbers, 7, 2, 2, result to an 11. And 11's got some negative vibe to it. That's just our philosophy of studying numbers for over 50 years. But that's what
I haven't been
from.
Studying for numbers for over 50 years because I'm not even 50.
Yeah, but the thing is,
let's just to make that clear.
Mike, the thing is, now listen closely. Your master number is 6, which is a great number, a visionary number. It's great. You know, a man of vision, you might have great ideas, you could have your own business. You're a man of vision, and that isn't to deny the fact that you might have some artistic abilities within that vision. But you see, your life goes in increments of 6, so every 6 years you have a change. However, your karmic number is 33, so you have to factor every multiple of 6 from that age as well. You know, the 22 suggests a strong relationship, but also suggests some troubles in the relationship and possibly 2 children, things like that.
But oh, my gosh. We have 2
have
boys.
That? Yeah.
We have 2 boys, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, we're psychic. We're supposed to at least have some sense of accuracy. We're not always accurate.
And he's going through a change. In July of this year, you're going to be going through your 9th cycle of your master number 6.
Yeah, he's going to be
53.
Well, he's 53. He's going to be 54. Yeah.
54.
So, my God, you're coming up to a big change, Mike.
So, with that in mind, Mike, what is your question today?
Well, you know, I you're right. I mean, my whole life has been kind of like, you know, like, I guess the best way to explain it is, you know, like I crawl, I kneel, I walk, and just before I run, my feet get swiped out from underneath me, and then I crawl, I kneel, I walk, you know what I mean? And it always seems like I just can't get up enough just to run, you know, because I know that I'm, and not, I just know in my heart that I know that I'm meant for more things. You know, like not in my marriage, but I just know that in my life that I'm meant for more, but I just can't reach it for some reason. You know, almost like the top shelf, you know, that you want a can of soup. You can almost grab it, but you can't get there. And I don't know why that is. It's driven me crazy forever.
You know, part of the problem, as Neil mentioned earlier, you've got an 11 in your first
7, 2, and 2
three numbers. So that can pull you back if you're not moving forward and everything is organized and moving forward in the direction that you want. If there's problems that can come up if you're not completely aware. Also, your master number or your karmic number 33 is a multiple of an 11.
Well, he's got, you see, three. What you've got, Mike, you've got couplings 2, 2, 6, 6. When
three,
you add
three.
Up all your numbers, 3, 3. So when we look at that, and you have to, and your
yeah,
the numbers in
the
your year are the same as your master number. So there's something where you're getting sabotaged is in the karma of that 22. So that would mean we'd have to kind of search through some things. Were your parents estranged? Did you have a bad relationship with your father? Were they divorced? Anything like that?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, you see? So as we approach this on different levels of connecting to you on the radio, we're discovering quickly where some of your karma was already built into your machinery before you even got here. So that means you're beset with challenges and breakups. And you use imaginary imagery, you know, reaching for the soup, and
crawling,
your imagery of crawling.
Yeah.
You're a visionary guy. So somebody like you could, like we were saying, could do, listen, who cares if you're 54? You're 54. That's all that means. But to reinvent yourself, visionary-wise, inventing-wise, artistically, whether that's through the verbal skills or woodshop or whatever it is,
yeah.
What kind of work
that's
did
what,
you do?
I was a tool and die, a machinist.
I was thinking
woodshop.
And I had construction, that's what I was thinking, which is not the same as machinery, but it's that hands-on, you know.
Mike, you're totally located with talent. You're a machinist, so there's an artistry to that. You know, as ignorant as we are, we do know some things. There's an artistry to that. You said you design machinery too?
No, you know, I you know, throughout my life, I've done just about everything. I mean, truck driving, limo driving, worked in restaurants. You know, I've just had a bunch of different jobs. And then, you know, my daytime job was always working in a factory, you know, so... But I always held down 2 and 3 different jobs at different times, you know, just to support the family. So.
And right now, are you working more than one job?
No.
So you're working in just machinery right now?
Yes. Yes, right now.
Okay, so that's probably why we're picking up the element of...
The good news is you're about to go through a transformation at 54, which would be 9 cycles of your master number. Are you currently employed and making a living at that?
Barely, but yes, I mean, I am.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. Let's go to a whole different area of our brain. Did you ever know, just a casual question, did you ever know anyone who had a pilot's license or flew an airplane?
Yes.
Okay, so you see, we talked about earlier on the show that psychics are sometimes detectives. but they approach it like a psychic, but they're still doing detective work. So who was this person with the pilot's license?
My father.
See? And did he cross over?
No, he's still living.
Oh, so he's still living. So don't have to worry about trying to contact him. So there's an issue between you and your father. Was he hard on you growing up? Was there problems?
Yes.
See,
yes. The
now
both.
That, yeah. Yeah. See, Mike, that is there's something about that happened, that you swallowed, and it's still in your system, and it's causing you to do this crawl, run, fall down. There's something in your ego that he messed you up, and somehow you haven't regurgitated the emotional element of that. In some ways you have, but you're calling up psychics, and we're trying to determine quickly on the radio why you're having this
problem.
And it stems originally from karmically what your father's done to you. That's one reason why you're having this problem. So there's got to be, you could do an easy route and just figure out what it is and let go of it. Not hold resentment. Or you can do a therapy route. I don't know.
But what is your goal? I mean, in terms of your career, you're saying you're barely making it. Are you looking for other opportunities? Is your wife working?
My wife is working. But, you know, for myself, I've always known, like I told you, I've always known that I'm more. I just can't seem to get there, and I just don't know how to get there. I don't know if that makes any sense.
What is your vision of what you would like to be?
Well, I mean, honestly, what it is that I want to be internally happy, and yeah. I'm not.
Let me ask you something, Mike. What has your dad done to you or your experience with your dad that you still are bothered about?
We could be here for hours with that. You know, I came from a real abusive and, real abusive home when growing up.
Yeah. You know what, Mike? That's what you got to get rid of. That's your big problem internally. You said it because you have insight. And we're psychics, and we're supporting or validating this premise of your experience, but you're still holding on to that. It's like you got a big piece of steak in your throat. You can't, you know, it's lodged. You've got to figure out, Mike,
how to get rid of it.
How to get through all of that, because you're still carrying the load of it. No wonder you keep falling.
I don't, you know, my wife says the same thing, and I don't know how to. I mean, I don't know. I mean, living in foster care and house, you know, abandoned houses on the streets when I was 13, and you know, I don't know. I ran away all the time, and there was just, you know, dysfunctional abuse, and I couldn't take it. So my easy way for everything was just jumping out the window and running away all the time, you know.
I did the same stuff.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Mike. I mean, there's avenues, whether you can afford it or not. Some of the avenues
are
therapy.
Therapy, they even if he can't afford, I mean, there are resources where he can get therapy, even if he doesn't have a lot of money.
See, because if you can't, you're stating you can't do it on your own. You just don't know where to start. Your wife agrees with us. We're strangers. We're supporting what you actually went through. There's got to be somebody out there that can help you get through this on a theory. What state do you live in?
I'm in Alabama right now.
Alabama? Oh, well, yeah. I don't know what the social services are like there. They may be limited, but have you ever been through a process of therapy before?
No, I haven't.
You have not.
Well, you're receptive. No. You're receptive, Mike. You would benefit from it because the topic would be you, and somebody skilled would help you get rid of some of this junk. And you can't believe what kind of psychic barriers it's caused in you. You're okay. Your experiences, you know, I kind of talked about Oliver Twist at the beginning of the radio show and some of the experiences that I went through. I ran away too and stuff like that. So, yeah, and I had a pretty abusive father when I was a little boy. So, but you can get through these things. You see, you just have to find somebody that can help you dislodge this. But it could be anybody. It could be a very talented person such as ourselves, you know, like psychics or somebody, or people who know how to get rid of energy and release it. There's different ways to do it. But what you can't do, you see, unfortunately, other men like you have gone through these experiences and they've been successful. They just get over it. Some things, you're too sensitive. You're a survivalist and you're also very sensitive. So it's burdening you, even though you have this willpower to keep moving forward, which is, I admire that. But you've got to be able to get rid of this stuff, and it's got to be done through some kind of therapy.
Okay.
It sounds like at least you have support of his wife. I mean, you have a good marriage.
Very good. I mean, honestly, you know, we met, dated, engaged, got married all in 1 month, and we've been married 30 years now.
Well, that's amazing. And the fact that you are able to overcome your problems as a child and meet someone and have a successful marriage is really remarkable. So, a lot of people have screwed up relationships throughout their whole lives.
You got to get out of the idea that there's something that it's your fault. There's something wrong with you. You must have bad luck. Get out of that. You're healthy. You're healthy. You're fine. The problem is what your dad did was he gave you a bad energy, and it's inside you, and that's the part you got to extract. Is your relationship with your boys good?
Very good. Yes. I mean, that's amazing. I sometimes even look and go, oh my gosh, you know, they're 26 and 27. They, you know, we talk, we go out for dinner, and you know what I mean? They call all the time. And, you know, so yeah, I'm really blessed with a good relationship with our son.
Because you're talented and you're basically a spiritual human being, and you've gone 70% past what your father's done to you. But that 30%, it's like you got a big rock in your shoe, but you're a good runner. But you got a rock in your shoe, and it's hurting your race. You got to figure out, listen to your wife, listen to us, do a little bit of research on where you can get some help to get rid of the psychic crap that your dad put on you that has damaged your ego and has put a mental block to you. This is all in your mind. That's where it's been lodged. And your master number is six, which is the brain, the mind.
And it happens to be in his ear twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a...
You can get through this. In fact, we'll make a casual prediction that during the year that you are 54, you're going to be experiencing the kinds of things you've been waiting to experience in terms of getting past all of these ordeals. But you got to figure out how to get help, because you got to get past that and just go to somebody where you can talk to them and they can figure out how to get rid of this stuff for you.
Okay.
Okay, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you for the call and your time. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. He lives in Alabama, but he sounds like he's from the Midwest.
Yeah, a little bit. Has
oh, yeah.
Kind of gravelly voice.
Well, not the gravel, but there's a Midwestern accent.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a professor in the university that said, people make people sick.
Yeah, yeah.
People make people sick. And they do.
There's a lot of people that make me sick.
And it's very true. We learn... We have sicknesses that are real, and then we have sicknesses that are related to what is real, but it's caused by the energy we've taken in. So a lot of our sicknesses are psychologically based that morph into
physical manifestations.
And then we have the other more elusive problems like depression and bipolar and borderline and things like this that all are regioned in the mind, and that flood out of the brain through emotional circuits that hit every part of our core to the point to where some of us can't even get out of bed. And it's a disease. It's a pure disease, not to mention the other avenues of alcoholism, drug, addictions of all different kinds of natures. A lot of this stems from the fact that many of us are born into hostile or unloving environments where it causes complete divisions of the psyche within the young individuals within the family. Some of us are survivors and some of us get by, but that's not a general rule.
Well, I mean, even those that survive still have these divisions in their mind, and that's the case with Mike. I mean, he survived and amazingly has a loving family, a wife that he's very happy with. And a lot of the time, people like him are not able to even get as far as he has.
In Mike, now he's got a 7-2. That's a 9. He's got three obvious sixes, 6-6 in his year and 6. That's an 18, which is a 9. 9 is the eternal number. You just keep getting back up. And, you know, he has a broken division of a heart, which is his 7 and 6, his first and last numbers. I don't know if he's still listening.
No, he's not.
So that becomes a 13 or a 4. Mm-hmm. And that's a broken heart energy. And
the 22 is a broken heart energy
as well.
Yeah.
So his code is very significant, but the 7 is part of his stability. And the nine factor that we were talking about
helps
is
to keep
another
him enduring.
Enduring. So, you know, and it's interesting because as he, at his call, he has two boys, 26 and 27. Well, 26 is in his linear code,
and
so it's 27.
I mean, obviously his boys aren't going to be 26 and 27 forever, but it's significant at the time that he called our show.
Yeah.
That the boys are that age and that he's receiving a reading that's based in numerology. So that's why it's significant.
And he's about to be 54 which
years
is
old,
a nine. And then it's also
exactly, which we're the nines
a
we're
multiple
talking about.
Of his master
yeah.
number. So he's going through a change in his energy. And, you know, hopefully he'll get through that. Maybe therapy will help him. But when.
Hopefully. I mean, it's difficult. I don't know what. You know, what's available in his state. I hopefully, you know, going to be able to find someone that can offer him low cost therapy. I know it's really challenging to find a good therapist,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it is that there could be some destiny factor in there because when
yeah.
we talk about therapists, we talk about mentors and we talk about people who are on the planet that are, meant destined to help people and things like that. But, you know, they have their problems too. What's that recent murder that?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
With that marriage counselor. I mean,
marriage,
she's a
she
doctor.
Was Drew Carey, Amy Harwick. She was Drew Carey's fiance. Just in, they
for
were
2 years.
They were engaged. It's really weird. In 2018, they got engaged in spring and I guess they broke up and she got a new boyfriend who ended up pushing her off a balcony and she died. They were struggling.
Balcony. Well, you know, that's
and she
part...
was, she, go ahead. Sorry.
What?
No, she's 28-10-1 and she died 10 years beyond, she was 38 years old when she died. So 10 years beyond her karmic number, she was killed. And she has a significant 11s in her number. I think she's born in 1982. So
yeah.
That's an 11. I think me. Can't remember her birthday, but
well, she had restraining orders. He broke them.
But, well, no, she did not. She had a restraining
yeah,
order.
Yeah, she had restraining order.
No, not at the time for death. She did
no,
not.
No, she had restraining
right.
orders, and he broke. He still broke those restraining
right.
orders.
Right, but
that
at the time of her death, she
did not
have a restraining
yeah,
order. It had expired.
But you see here again, when you're dealing with, tragically, some fates, some of this involves fate. Destiny, and that unfortunately, in the I like to call it the corrupt code. It you're coded to come in back and seek some kind of revenge or the balancing of karma. I mean, it gets so ridiculous.
Well,
but you know, maybe she committed a crime in a past life.
Well,
the
irony though is that she was a relationship therapist. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but she was a relationship therapist, a sex counselor, therapist. And so she was in the very field.
Right.
That,
but you see,
you know,
it doesn't matter who you are. Martin Luther King preached peace. It doesn't matter who you are. The underlying code, there's a very dangerous thing about human existence, and that is our underlying codes. Talk about presidents, Lincoln. You know, even Reagan when he was shot. There's underlying codes in our energy fields that does not respect who we are, what our intentions are, what we've accomplished. There are underlying codes. I mean, one recent example, okay, Orson Bean, a very famous actor, comedian. He was on To Tell the Truth. He was very intellectual, very talented. He's 90 years old. He crosses the street without a crosswalk, dumb, and he gets hit by two cars and dragged. But he was a vibrant 91. I mean, after 91 years of life, this is the way he's supposed to go.
I know. It's crazy.
You know, when I was a kid, my parents had a friend. He had a shoe store, Buster Brown Shoes, and he was a great guy. And he was in Japan, and he stepped out of his car, and boom, he was decapitated by a passing vehicle. Same thing happened to this famous director, that was decapitated, that did Clute and things like that. The famous director, I forget his name. I shouldn't forget his name, but I do. But very, very famous director, decapitated. I mean, it's dangerous. Karma's dangerous. And we never know exactly, in spite of everything we're doing. So when I even tell clients, when you drive through an intersection, look, because you don't know who's speeding through a red light and instant death. Don't take anything for granted. Every single step that you take has a karmic element to it. You can fall off of a step and crack your head on the cement. You've got to be careful of energies. No matter, being casual is fine, but you've always got to be alert. You've always got to be alert.
So I just want to say something about the birth date. There are conflicting birth dates for this woman. 5/20/1981 versus 5/21/1982. So I don't know what's accurate, but I have to say something that's strange. 5/21/1982 is the first one I saw. That's a 28/10/1. But what's strange is she was killed on 2/15, which is, you're right there, in her the karmic side of her birth date, in her month and day. But I don't know if that's accurate. However, the fact that that's even out there as a birth date has to be.
Oh my God, we're all going to die. That's, a fact.
Yeah, but the tragedy of being murdered or being hit by a car at the age of 91 rather than having a natural death. Yeah. The Orson Bean case, which was crazy. We have a caller that we have about 5 minutes for. That's gonna be all we're gonna be able to do. 402.
Good afternoon, or good morning, I guess I should say. Hi, this is Sue.
Hey, hi, Sue.
I was just kind of calling regarding that last caller, Mike, and his situation, and you guys were kind of suggesting therapies and stuff. I had just experienced what they call Beyond Quantum Healing Technique, and it is an awesome therapy. If he can look into that it goes back to opening, going back to where it first has imprinted on your soul, basically.
What's the cost?
And the energy.
Is it expensive? Or?
It can be, but okay, so you go through a session. I think the one woman I worked with was like $444. You're on Skype with her from, I think my appointment started at 9 and I didn't finish until about 2, and you go through a really in-depth session. And I had an amazing experience with it in releasing some fears that I have been carrying on. And the woman that I worked with was named Candace Craw Goldman out of Wichita. But she has a website that's called Beyond Quantum Healing. And it's a next step. She trained under Dolores Cannon. And I think it was quantum healing hypnosis technique. For years and years, and then she kind of evolved it into something else on top of that. So if he is still listening, I'd say give it a try. Look,
he's not still listening.
I didn't know. Now, if you guys talk to him again, if he ever calls,
generally we don't promote other people.
Right.
On our show. If we're, working with a caller, obviously the first place we're going to tell the caller to go is to us.
We'll help.
Yes. I appreciate your.
That's a good. That's an excellent suggestion. On the side, Sue. That's an excellent suggestion. Where I'm glad you shared it.
We'll check it out.
And if it helped you, that's the most important thing.
Right. You're right.
What's your birthday,
it has helped
Sue?
Me, and I know it's helped a lot.
Pardon me. What's your birth date?
It's 10/1/56.
Oh.
I'm a 5.
Yeah.
Wait, are you?
Yes, we've talked, yeah.
Are you
the
Sue with the cat?
I am Sue with the cat.
Yes. I know who you are.
Yeah.
12. Yeah.
Well, certainly, you had your burdens, Sue.
Yeah, the 10/1.
You had tremendous things, so with all due respect, you got through a lot.
Yeah, and no, it did. I mean, you go back to that energy and then you release it, and it's just like, oh, wow. It just feels like a whole different energy once you come out of that. And you know, move forward. That was the whole thing I did, was I had these fears. Why am I having these fears? I know I can do this. Take that step forward. And it really helped me. Oh, now I understand, you know, and now I know who's working with me and my connections in this lifetime right now. And,
yeah,
you know, I've always said I've been blessed with wonderful, amazing mentors that have just come into my life. And it's like, there is a reason, you know, and it opens me up to that reason.
Just out of curiosity, your change at 23, what happened then?
23, I think at that point in time, I realized I had made a mistake in marrying my husband.
Oh, so it was like the beginning of a breakup.
No, it was a beginning of feeling like I was trapped because
so
I wasn't ready to break up.
You didn't eventually break up with him?
I eventually did, but it took a lot of, you know, going through therapies.
Well,
and I think I was in my 35th year before I broke up with him. Finally.
But that's still,
yeah,
and the marriage
That's
the beginning of a breakup, because that was the first,
yeah,
right,
first
awareness,
inkling you had,
yeah,
that the relationship was not going to work.
But
for
then
you.
She broke up on a multiple of five.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, which is also in her karmic code at 23.5. There's a 35 in there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a big year for me of, oh, I am stuck, you know, because what I had been raised with and, you know, beliefs in a very strict Catholic mother, and you don't divorce, you just change your life. And so I was really messed up, and it was a kind of a spiral down at that period. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a significant. That's mm-hmm. significant. I don't know if we've talked to you about that before on the past shows, but anyway.
No. We hadn't touched that at all.
Interesting.
It was something
interesting.
Else I think I called about. But anyway, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Don't mean
thank
to,
you.
Yeah.
For calling
in. It really concerned me. He sounded like, oh my, this guy really, he's got something coming, and he just needs to get over that one little lip that's holding him back.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Move forward.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does.
But it may feel like a mountain at the time, but really it probably isn't, you know. It's
yeah.
just it does. You're, you know, that's where you're swimming at the point. But anyway,
yeah.
thank you guys
okay,
for listening.
Okay, we'll take care, Sue. Thank you.
Thank
you too.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye. All right, we're back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Bye-bye.